In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Once there was a rich king who called to himself a multitude of workers and told each one to build him a house that would diminish all other houses. To the one who poured concrete, he told, "I want a floor that a king will feel majestic to walk upon and all else to feel unworthy to even put a toe on." To the architect, he told her he wanted a design that would make all feel in awe and wonder when they beheld this building. To the builder, he instructed to find a material that would demonstrate majesty and great strength. And to the glassmith, he instructed that the windows must captivate the mind and capture the gaze. Each person went and carefully planned and designed as they were charged to do. The day came for the project to begin, and each skilled professional brought their plans to execute according to their own vision. As you can imagine, there was great confusion and conflict because each of these skilled professionals had a different vision for what that house should look like. Although each craftsperson had labored with intensity, dedication, and honor to build a magnificent house for the king, they could not build a house for the king because they did not have a shared vision of the singular purpose. They were divided and they were conquered by their pride. Today's epistle and gospel readings warn us not to be like these craftspeople, that is, blinded and led astray by their own visions, but rather to labor together according to the architectural plan of eternal life. Many people search all their lives, looking for the purpose or meaning of their life. However, those who desire eternal life and who struggle to live a pious life in Christ follow the instructions here laid out in today's readings. In fact, these readings reflect the symbol of faith, or more rightly, our confession of faith, the Nicene Creed. Brothers and sisters, we are called to be alive in God, a mystery so profound that even the angels are in awe of this. The Apostle Paul tells us, we must be aware of this great mystery at all times and walk worthy of this calling. We are not to be foolish as the rich man in the gospel, who believed his life was his own and all that he had labored for was for his own purpose. When a person is baptized into Christ, that person is joined to Christ. They no longer live in a manner that is opposing to how Christ lives. Just as in marriage, when one spouse lives in a manner contrary to faithfulness to the spouse and their oneness, how could this person be considered faithful? Without repentance and amendment to their behavior, they cannot. The apostle says elsewhere that we must crucify our minds. That is, we must willingly, out of love for the Father, be as Christ, single-minded, and all that we do is to the will of the Father. And this is true freedom and blessing of life. Walk worthily of this calling, that is, as the body of Christ. There is no such thing as an individual in Christ. If there was, then the scripture would say, one Lord in many bodies. We are not called to live unto God according to our own desires for what we want out of our short time on this earth. Our personhood, that is, who we actually are, cannot be actualized outside of one another because we are identified, actualized in Christ Jesus, His one body. Yes, He loves each of us and abides in each one of us, working blessings and miracles in our lives, but to the benefit of His body, unto the glory of the Father. The foundation for walking worthy of our calling is with all humility, as the Apostle Paul says. That is, no one sees themselves as better than anyone else, nor treats some with more favor than others. All humility encompasses every aspect of our lives, our speech, our deeds, thoughts, and attitude. Humility is the foundation of all virtues, which is why the first blessing in the Beatitudes belongs to the poor in spirit or the humble-minded. We cannot live piously if we think ourselves to be of more value or of greater stature than anyone based on our social standing or so-called spiritual merit. This was the foolishness of the rich man in today's gospel. Whereas a Christian with earthly wealth does not see that wealth as their own, but the Lord's, and in humility uses that wealth for the well-being of the body of Christ. The Lord said, "Learn of me. I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Not only with humility, but with meekness and long-suffering shall we walk worthily of our calling. White blood cells only account for about 1% of our body's blood, but without them, our bodies would become very ill and diseased. In like manner, without each of us exhibiting meekness and long-suffering with each other, the body of Christ will become ill and diseased. Therefore, we are to bear with one another in love, not worldly love full of passionate emotion, but with Christ's love, that which can only be brought forth through acquiring the Holy Spirit, through all humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Blessed Father Seraphim Rose said, "When I became a Christian, I willingly crucified my mind, and all the crosses I've been carrying have only been a source of joy for me. I haven't lost anything, and I've won everything." It is to be our joy to build one another up in Christ, because Christ is our joy. The apostle continues, "Giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. By the Holy Spirit, we all become one body. Just as in marriage, the building of the body of Christ takes great diligence to keep unity and oneness. Every single person who is a member of the body of Christ must give this diligence, must fight for it with prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. The Christian life is a high calling. We are not to live as free agents, but bound together like those tied to a lifeline for safety. There is one body and one spirit. The sorrow of one is the sorrow of all. The joy of one is the joy of all. But how can this happen if we are not willing to be tied to Christ's body? How can we maintain this peace when we bicker with each other, or when we exclude ourselves from each other with false categories such as converts and cradles? Listen to the apostle. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye also were called in one hope of your calling. Before the face of God, we are all equal. It doesn't matter if you can trace your family lineage all the way back to the apostles, or if you convert 1 minute before you die. If you do not live in Christ, you will not live. However, if you do put on Christ and live in Him, then you share equally in eternal life with all those who are in eternal life. Since we are equals in Christ, then willingly, with all due diligence, let us keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, as is expressed and confessed in the Nicene Creed. We, as the body of Christ in Shreveport, that is, all the members of St. Nicholas, Holy Nativity, and St. George, are to testify this truth to those who live outside this reality. The Lord did not profess there to be many bodies, i.e. denominations, but only one body, the Orthodox Church. The Word of God became incarnate with our flesh, was crucified with that flesh, and ascended into heaven with that flesh, all for our salvation. There is no greater love for another than to manifest this truth with our lives. It is for gratitude to God and for the love of our neighbor that we confess the Nicene Creed. St. Paul continues, "One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all, and in you all. God abides in every pious Christian. Again, there is not one Orthodox Christian who is better than the other." Lastly, St. Paul says, "To each of us was given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." In regards to this, St. Mercurius of Optina said, "Although pleasant feelings and tears are sometimes experienced, one should not grant them much attention, considering them to be something great. Instead, you should humble yourself, considering yourself to be unworthy of such gifts." The more lofty the lives of the Holy Fathers, the more they belittled and humbled themselves. It is important to remember that the measure of the gift is of Christ and not of our own merit. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let us not be like the rich man nor the craftspeople, executing plans according to our own visions. But let us labor together in our common salvation and enter into our Lord's kingdom together. Amen.